Okay, you guys ready to get started?
Woohoo!
Hopefully we're going to have a little bit of fun today. We're doing a session on gaming, so we obviously have to introduce some gaming into the room at South By. But my name is Frank Bear. I work with Blackbaud, and I'm here with some awesome panelists today. They're going to do most of the talking, but hopefully you know we're going to talk about boosting fundraising and engagement with gamification. So hopefully everybody here is at least generally familiar with gaming, online gaming, kind of gamifying things or gamification. And if you're not, hopefully by the end of the panel, the panelists will have done a great job of helping you understand that a bit more. So I'll just kind of, I guess we might even be in order here. This is Aaron Foss. He's the founder and, CTO of Help Attack?
Pick a C letter.
Okay. Yeah. CTO, CEO, he does all of it. He does the laundry and everything. Next to me, I have Professor Laura Hartman from Zenga. She runs external partnerships and does all kinds of cool things with their .org site. I have Steve Curley over here, Larry Moen Curley. He pronounced his last name for me. He works for PETA, so he's kind of the nonprofit representation of us up here. And next to me right here, I have Patty Huber from Groupon. Sorry, I got confused by your Twitter handle there for a second. But all of them kind of have different expertise in gaming, and their platforms do different things, or you know, Steve from PETA has used a lot of gaming. So hopefully we're going to have a really good discussion up here. If you're tweeting, and hopefully lots of you will be once you learn what the game is, use Boost Funds. So don't use SX Boost Funds, just use Boost Funds. That was the one that was online, so we're going to stick with that. So real quick, how many nonprofits are in the room? Like, if you work for a nonprofit, okay, that's probably 80%. How many are something else? Like, you either own a tech company, or you're a consultant, or you just want to be here because you think somebody's cool on the panel.
Be here, yeah, okay.
Or you're cool.
All right. Who plays games on Zynga?
Stop.
Poker.
I had to find out, you know. Okay, well,
who doesn't want to admit they play games?
Who plays Farmville?
His mother plays Farmville.
Very cool. Well, how many of you guys are doing gaming in some way at your organization? So not personally, but at your organization, you're doing some sort of either gaming or you're doing some sort of gamification related to fundraising and engagement. Okay, so smaller chunk. Well, very cool. So we want to play a little game, so we have a few prizes. These amazing panelists brought some things for you guys. So we've got four kind of things. So first, kind of the ground rules for the panelists, right? They know they're up here to, you know, share with you guys and hopefully interact and learn from you guys as well. But there's no pitching allowed, right? They're not going to get up here and pitch their platforms to you. If they do, we will push them out that door and they won't be able to talk anymore. And they have to be honest, right? We want them to be as honest and as kind of transparent as they can be. Obviously, there's some who are publicly traded and things like that, so they have to be careful. But we want to be honest, transparent, and, you know, if they don't know, they'll tell you that they don't know kind of thing. So those are kind of the ground rules for us up here. But we also want to get lots of audience participation. So we have four kind of games that we want to incorporate into our session. The first one is the first 9 people to ask a good question get a Zynga T-shirt. Okay, so right up here, she will be throwing them at you. She doesn't have one of those guns, but she'll be throwing them at you, and you'll get your Zynga T-shirt. So the first 9 people to ask a good question, and we'll judge that up here. The second one is the top 4 people that tweets, right? So the top, you know, top Twitter count, top number of tweets from the top 4 people get a $25 gift card to Groupon. So that's for the top 4. And then for the first 5 people to stump a panelist, right? So we want you guys to ask some good questions, and we want you to stump panelists if you can. The first 5 get Oreos from PETA. Yeah.
Vegan Oreos, right?
Vegan, yes, they're vegan. That's nothing why. That's the connection. Okay, and then if we can push the tweet count over 150, let's say, we'll open up 2 new prizes, right? So if we can get it over 150, we'll open it up, you get 2 new prizes. We have 2 backpacks from Zynga. They're pretty sweet, right? You can carry all your South By swag. All right, you guys got that? You with me?
Yeah.
Anybody?
All right. Let the games begin.
Let the games begin. Okay, they're tweeting already. All of our Twitter handles. We're just going to kind of go through. We'll start with Aaron. They're going to do a quick little intro on who they are.
Hey there, my name is Aaron Foss, E-H-R-E-N, it's a weird spelling on Twitter. Help Attack is a platform where causes can use content online, anything that's important to their mission, blog posts, photo uploads, tweets, Facebook posts. We help them turn those into fundraising campaigns. It's with micro donations. I'll probably explain more of our platform as we go. One concrete way to do it is I made a pledge for each time the Boost Funds hashtag is used, I'm going to give 25 cents to the Electronic Frontier Foundation during this panel. And if you do the math, up to 50 bucks, that's 200 tweets, so a little beyond the 150. So that's the kind of stuff that we do.
Awesome.
Okay, he was better than me at being quick. Okay, so I run Zynga. I ran Zynga.org, sorry. My brother actually runs Zynga, so don't tweet that, please. That, I'll get in big family trouble. Don't take my time off for that. Okay, so along with Virginia MacArthur, who's up front here, she's the executive producer at Zynga Austin. We started Zynga.org. Zynga itself was founded in 2007 to connect the world through games. And you have some stats up here, which is about as many stats as I can give for this entire presentation, because these were all cleared with legal. We started Zynga.org through Sweet Seeds for Haiti in October of 2009, and you can see more of our efforts through Sweet Seeds for Haiti campaign that helped us to build a school after the earthquake in 2010. What we do is allow in a few opportunities throughout the year campaigns where you can buy virtual goods for just a few dollars through the games, and all of that money, 100% of your contribution, then goes to various organizations. So in the midst of playing a game, you might otherwise pay a few dollars to Zynga, and the money instead would go to those .orgs. And so this engagement encourages you then to connect for some meaningful reason other than just playing and connecting with your friends, and you would then play some more. The interesting part is that this money then can go to respond to emergencies, to respond to poverty, hunger, basic needs, education, technology, or, of course, disasters when they happen. And so it's really a fabulous way to move forward with things that we care about.
90 seconds. Nice.
All right. I'm Steve. I'm development director for PETA. And I'm not the vegan police, so I'm just going to put that out there. Next slide. So you probably know us. I mean, we use celebrities. We use a lot of our street action, street theater to draw attention to animal abuse that's going on around the world. We focus on four areas. Animals are not ours to wear, eat, use for experimentation, or use for entertainment. So that's the big focus of our organization. It's very simple. It keeps us focused. And here's some of the things that we've done along the way for gaming. And along the way, as we talk to the panel, I might reference some of this stuff. But that's just some of it. I mean, and I think the focus of this boosting fundraising, I think a lot of the few hands that did raise for those that are using gaming, you probably don't know it, but you are using gaming in some of the different things that you're doing right now. And you can bump that up. So I'll hopefully illustrate some of that.
What a nice segue, because I was definitely one of those people who didn't realize we use gaming until Frank asked me to join the panel. So my name is Patty Huber, and I run G-Team's philanthropic arm, or Groupon's philanthropic arm called G-Team. So here's a video to show you what we do.
G-Team makes it easy for people to do good in their communities. Organizations can apply for their project-specific needs to be shared with Groupon subscribers free of charge. G-Team coordinators select promising campaigns, schedule them to run, and work with our editorial team to craft one of our signature write-ups. On the day of a G-Team feature, the campaign message reaches hundreds of thousands of potential supporters, creating widespread awareness for the cause via the Groupon daily email. Like Groupon Daily Deals, G-Team uses the power of collective action and the tipping point model to engage users. If enough people pledge to support a project, the campaign will tip, and the organization will receive a bounty of resources. Donors and doers feel confident joining a campaign, knowing that their efforts will produce meaningful results. Enthusiastic users help spread the word about a campaign they like, providing exposure far beyond the reach of the Groupon mailing list. When a campaign tips, supporters are notified via email, along with simple instructions on how to connect with the organization and follow the progress of the campaign. G-Team makes it easy to improve your community, one project at a time.
And so far, we've funded over 500 projects, raising $3 million for community organizations.
Awesome. All right, so on to the panel. So first off, thanks for the intros, guys. Hopefully those didn't feel like pitches. We just want to make sure everybody know who these folks are. And first off, maybe you guys can just define, like, what is gamification, or maybe even kind of elaborate a little bit on just gaming in general. How do you guys look at that? What's your definition of that?
I look at gamification, I guess, as distinct from gaming a little bit. I think it includes any time you're incentivizing people to do things they wouldn't otherwise do. Maybe they didn't want to initially, or maybe they just needed a little push. I think it also definitely includes topics from behavioral economics, a lot of great books out there. That's how I decided to define it.
Okay.
I think the question, I think it's, I would agree with Aaron that it's making something a game when it wouldn't normally be a game. And so Zynga really is already in the game business. So we just make games. But I think that it's reminding people to play when they might not otherwise be playing. And so it's encouraging people to connect when they might not otherwise connect for social reasons and they accomplish some other objective.
Other thoughts from the side over here?
Incentives.
Feel free to share examples, too, that might help connect. And I should have mentioned, we're taking questions the whole time. So if you have a question, just raise your hands, and we'll try to field as many as we can during the session.
We need microphones, though, so.
Yes, we'll keep him on the hunt.
So my big definition is just incentives for participation. So whether you're buying a Groupon to check out something in your local merchant or funding one of our campaigns, what we're offering on the platform is just an incentive to participate. So that's one big game.
Right. And I think for us at PETA, I mean, I think that the basic elements of gaming, so anything that, from leveling up to the badges that we'll give for people who are doing certain actions, but even backing it up completely, putting a thermometer on a donation page that people collectively see that thermometer grow is like very basic. But that's a gaming thing because as a group we're seeing something change. It's not a static page. So I think there's a lot more that is considered gaming that we're just not thinking of, but that we're doing. And so it's kind of boosting that up more.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the core elements? You kind of mentioned a few, and maybe we can elaborate. Like, what are some of the core elements of gaming, and what are some maybe examples? Like, let's get into some real good examples of where we're seeing gaming take place today.
I think that a lot of the classic stuff from direct mail, fundraising, a lot of nonprofits are probably familiar with this. You're anchoring, you're suggesting an amount rather than the person suggesting their own. You're providing social proof, you're showing them a face of someone like them.
So anchoring and social proof, those are two kind of gamification words that you would use to describe gaming elements?
Yeah, I think fundraisers use those, and I would include that in a kind of gamification of the fundraising process.
But I think that we're forgetting the part that makes it a game. I think you have to make sure that it's fun. I think a lot of us probably have some experiences, and we'll get to a concept of failure or challenges later, but I think that one of the challenges that we see are some of those organizations that you go and you see that they're trying to gamify something, and it's just not really fun. So you just think, look, I'd rather just write the check or use my bank or whatever it is. So you need to make sure that it's fun and engaging so that people want to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. And so part of what I think a lot of us are trying to do is make it seamless. And so people are there, and they're playing a game, and you give them an opportunity to contribute, so the fundraising part of what we're talking about. And it's not that they don't notice it. It's that they don't mind. It's right. That it's just part of the experience, and they think, oh, wait a minute, I can have fun. I'm playing. I'm connecting with my friends. And, oh, my gosh, I can also contribute something I care about.
Right. I think most people, Laura, that come to PETA are coming because they want to help animals, right?
Exactly.
So once they're on our site, it's like, great, you're here to help animals, but let's make it fun for you. And let's, instead of pushing you along the way, let's pull you along the way. And so by using gaming tactics or gaming elements in how we're interacting with people, that's pulling people along the way. A very basic piece for us, I mean, and those of you who are from nonprofits, your annual report is the most boring thing out there, right? But how do you get your donor or somebody that's giving to your group to interact with that? So, you know, at PETA, we've taken our annual report and made it into a feature, and it's like you click on this and the dollar spin and shows you where we're spending the money, and then you click over here and you can see the different ways that we're helping animals, and you kind of take your own path through that. But along the way, the important part of the gaming is to throw in the surprises and make it fun for these people.
Is anyone familiar with Spent? It was a game that came out, I think, late last year about homelessness. It was a Memphis church group who put it together. And the idea is that you're starting the month as a single mother. You have a job, you have a car, you have these resources. And the game sort of shows you that the decisions you make, how close you are to sort of falling below the poverty line or perhaps becoming homeless. And, you know, it wasn't a game that I thought was particularly fun. I don't think fun necessarily has to be a component, but the more aligned it is with the mission and the more concrete it is, I think that it was very powerful. And it's
I disagree,
Spent.
Though, Chad. I think fun is a huge piece of
Aaron.
Sorry, Aaron, my bad. I think it is really a big part of it is to make it fun, and that people have to, even with engagement, if you're putting something forward as animal abuse, I mean, that's tough, that's heavy, and I don't want to say it's fun, but you got to take an angle of that that's going to get people, you know, caring about it and wanting to take that next step that's going to pull them along.
Could we say that? Go ahead.
Oh, no, fun, I mean, fun is part of the challenge. So at the most basic level, you have to have the goal that you want to meet, and you have to set a challenge that's difficult enough that it's not going to be, you know, incredibly easy to go. So the fun of it, whether it's funny or humorous, like our voices a lot of times, is the sense of mastery that comes along with it. And I think every single game has that, where you need to build the muscle and the momentum to get something to happen.
Well, could we say that maybe we might not all qualify it as fun in this, using the same terminology, but it's got to be a place where you want to hang out, where you want to be. Perhaps we would say that we want to connect people. Certainly there are asynchronous games or gamified elements where you don't hang out with other people, but we would say that that's one of the reasons why you want to hang out there. But you hang out, you want to be there, whether it's for fun or for learning or for other reasons. There are plenty of games such as the one that Cheryl Wudun and Nicholas Kristof are working on right now about learning about women and oppression. And I think that when you go through that, you might not think it's fun, but you might want to hang out there and learn.
It's the engagement. Right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe
engagement.
It has to be rewarding. Like something about it has to be rewarding, right? Mm-hmm. So it's something. Maybe it's not fun, but it's rewarding to the person.
Well, you have to paint a positive picture, right? So you can either focus on what you want to stop happening, like the war against drugs, or you can focus on the future that you want to have. And I think people are really sick of hearing the poverty porn story of seeing all these terrible images, and they just want to feel hopeful. And so if you can tell them that if you take these few actions, this is where you're going to go, and not grandiose claims like we're going to cure cancer, but really specific, like we're going to provide this many mammograms for this many women in this particular community, then you're painting this picture of hope and showing people that it's achievable with some very simple actions that they could take today.
Yeah. Well, and I think as a nonprofit, we're not a one-issue group, right? So we have, I pointed out the four issues that we have. So most people will come into PETA with one issue in mind, like, right, they're like, dog fighting's really bad, I'm going to go, and they check out PETA and they read some more, and they join. Now, at that point, then, I've got a mission to bring these people along and introduce these other tenets of who we are. And the only way I'm going to do that is if I make it interesting for them and you know, are pulling them into it.
Okay. Is there any questions out there? Let me pause for a second. So we're kind of talking about gaming elements and things like that. So I see somebody with their hand up right over there, kind of middle of
go
the way.
Go Virginia.
So that's the first question, right? We got nine of these.
Virginia's
first nine
covered. I got to catch the T-shirt.
Well, it's good just because you were the first, so we'll make it easy on the first.
This is a question for Patty and Laura. Since you guys have huge customer base, for lack of a better word, how do you decide which causes to fund? What's that process?
Oh, that's good. We were just
great
talking
question.
About this on
we
the walk over.
Fight in
and
the back
Steve's going to jump on
like,
me.
Wait a
There's
minute.
A wrestling match
and,
over
and also,
yeah.
She only asks us, Steve. You're not allowed to answer
okay,
that.
Sorry.
So, just as an add-on, do you also target it to various audiences? Like, do you do, you know, food-related charities for Farmville?
And not Steve's audience.
And let's just try to be short and snappy on these answers so we're not too much into
the... So unlike Laura, we want to cater to all the diverse interests of our customers, right? You don't see anyone.
I haven't even answered yet.
we've had lunch. You know, I know.
Yeah.
And so
we're friends.
We want to cater to the diverse interests of our customers. And so there's some plausible deniability that we get away with because of the tipping point model, right? Like, it's not really Groupon supporting the cause, so we can push some things out there that not everyone's going to appreciate and say, well, we're here to help bridge this group of people with their unique needs for this. And that is not going to appeal to everybody, but that's okay. We just want to bring those people together.
So I feel like I'm already defending.
Since swag is involved, who's picking the winners?
We are.
Okay. Somehow. Now, you can join us if you want to help, you know.
If people are winking at you or something. Okay, I get to answer first, though. I'm not picking the winner. She really wants to be picked. I have to answer first.
Yeah, you.
Okay. Feel a little attacked.
Whoa.
All right. Hi. Okay. So we do have a set of criteria that we use, and I was already in a fight, as Steve answered. We have basic criteria that we use in general, but our bottom line is that we have three basic program areas that we will support. And so when we look at organizations, we need them to, at first, satisfy basic needs of individuals, basic needs, food, dealing with hunger, dealing with poverty, dealing with water needs, dealing with technology or education, or dealing with emergency relief. And so just to answer the question, Steve was saying, well, you know, I said already, well, these are why we couldn't support PETA. So first of all, we don't deal with animal issues. Second, we cannot deal with an organization that has more controversy than Zynga. So one of the and PETA is one of them.
Right?
So, but the reason and what Patty was referring to, and just to explain the diversion here, is that we have 240 million players, and we are about play, and we do play really, really well, and we want to. We want to satisfy those users. And if we put something up there that is relatively controversial or satisfies a very specific need, it's out there and only a few players will contribute. And so that does no good to our organizational partner, nor does it do any good to our plan. So to go out with a specific need doesn't do any good for you. You're not a great partner.
One more follow-up to that. So if you're going to choose an embedded philanthropy model where a purchase triggers a donation, you have a much different responsibility to vet these organizations and find something that's more universally appealing than we can do, because you know, I'm not going to assume that you care about the breast cancer issue if you're buying a yoga Groupon, right? You're intentionally deciding to support this specific campaign. So that's the difference.
Okay. And we do have other criteria, but I can go through them later if someone has a question. That was just in response to that.
Is the question related to something that we were on the topic of?
It's on the topic, yes. Excellent. What's the greatest faux pas a philanthropy can make in gamification?
Can we say this again?
What's the greatest faux pas?
What's the greatest faux pas
failure
any philanthropy can do in gamification?
Okay, we're actually going to get to some failures, so we're going to hold off on that question. But it's a good question, so let's give her a T-shirt, because we are going to cover that. Let's hit the gentleman right there. I saw him up with his hand up for a little bit.
So you kind of wanted some questions about the aspects of gamification, I think. And you had mentioned very earlier on about leveling up. And I was curious about how you feel how progress through a game kind of contributes to the overall success of the game. Do you think that that's extremely important? Like the whole like progress, leveling up,
competition,
or not so important?
Why don't we start here? Because I know you have games with a lot of leveling up.
Yeah. So our app that we have is as you. It's for advocacy. So the more actions you take, you get elevated. So ensign, elephant, lieutenant, llama. You know, you get these different statuses as you go. And that's a huge piece of it, because we're pulling people along with, like, the next, wanting to get that next badge and that next piece. So it's a big part of it. We had, this will speak to failures, but we had tried something called PETA Points. and we were like blowing it out, and it's going to be, okay, you get these points for every action you take, you get, you know, points if you make a donation, and we were like trying to tabulate all this, and we didn't anticipate our liability in it because we had too many, suddenly we were like looking at far too much, but we had elevated all these people. So one of our challenges then was, how do we back out gracefully of this part of it? And you know, because we brought so many people along. So I don't know if that really answers
the question. So the leveling up, though, you think that's key to kind of keeping interest?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you want to definitely.
I think since we're talking about fundraising, you know, if you talk about a gala or a symphony, you see like the platinum sponsors, the gold sponsors, the silver sponsors. If fundraising is the goal of the gamified campaign that you're running, I think the levels should be tied to, and maybe it's not total amount that individual has given, but when you're running a 10K, you're asked to raise $1,000 from friends and family, the levels should be tied to that.
That's a great one on the team fundraising. I'm just sorry, is that that whole leveling up, is that as a team, you know, that's a great model. And then as the team exceeds, you know, you're playing against other teams that are doing this fundraising. I think that's a great way of doing that, too.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I think I would just echo, it's leveling up is really important. And people really, if you put a bridge in front of someone, they're going to want to cross it. And it's part of our competitive nature. You want to do it.
Definitely. Well, that's interesting because you kind of have a split, though, because you talked about you know, platinum members, gold members. They might be of a different status. They can do more. So would the leveling be in relation to how much they contribute, or to how much they play the game and how engaged they are with the game? I mean,
it probably depends on your ultimate goal and kind of what the game is. I mean, they probably have like engagement metrics that you track, right? We want you to be in the game for 10 minutes because people who hit 10 minutes make a donation, right? So there's probably different elements. But
yeah, I mean, it's both. So the topic of this is how to boost fundraising and engagement. So both of those, I mean, you know, they're competing against each other and that.
Well, and at different times, your organization has different metrics that they're stressing and different areas that they'd like to excel. So. Okay.
But then there's problems with the leaderboard too.
Sure, we'll get to problems in a minute. Though I want to keep us moving. So let's get this question, and then we'll move on to the next thing.
Please wait for the microphone.
Let's get the mic real quick.
All right.
Getting down on our t-shirts.
The mic's important because it's being podcast.
Did we give that gentleman a t-shirt, by the way?
Yes, he got whipped.
Okay, good.
Great. Thank you. This is a question for either Barry or Foss. So my question regards engagement and this idea that. Perhaps
nice catch.
The church thing. So my question is, okay, so I know on one end of the spectrum, it seems like you just want it fun. Like that is what you want, the gold standard. Because that's what's going to make people really engaged, like Zynga or these things. But then how far the other way in terms of almost like pedagogy can you go? Like say you were trying, you had some of your people, I've worked for the Nature Conservancy and other open space organizations, and like say if you were trying to do something like carnivore connectivity and how important it was to have big swaths of land. I mean, are there people that are using gaming and making things interesting and fun to go really deep in terms of some of the knowledge base that would be needed to bring a lot of influencers along?
So I think I'd interpret that question as how deep can the games go in terms of directly serving your mission? Yeah, I think I learned about an awesome example yesterday called it's HopeWorks. I think they're based in Philadelphia. You know, not the sexiest, most newsworthy thing in the world, but they do you know, training for folks who have dropped out of high school, try to get them to go to college. And they are training folks to learn Salesforce, which is a donor database or CRM, and they've gamified that experience. So as their students are going through, they're, you know, earning points, they're leveling up within building a skill that they can then go deploy to the workforce. So that's not fundraising, but I think it's a great way that they've aligned their mission with a gamified thing.
And I don't know if this is totally on track with what you were asking, but National Wildlife Federation comes to mind in terms of how they use Foursquare, and they have like tips kind of all over the place in the you know, national parks and trails and forests and things like that. So whenever you check in, you know, at a tree or something like that, you get a tip about the tree, and I think that's, there's a gaming element to that, and it's educating their audience, and their audience is passionate about those things. So it definitely connects that audience with their organization even more because it's NWF showing up whenever you check in. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's get into some examples of good gamification, good gaming. Like, what are some really good, solid success stories that you guys know of, and why did they work? What are some of the core elements of why they worked?
I mean, I talked about. All right, look at me. I talked about the loyalty game that we have in the app, and that I think is definitely a success for us. What other stuff comes to mind is we have.
Can you elaborate a little bit just so people have a better understanding of?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that anything that's loyalty-driven, I mean, Starbucks, so, like, yeah, you get your Starbucks card, you keep coming back, you get the next level, you get the free cup and that kind of thing. So taking that basic knowledge or that basic technique and applying it to our iPhone app, I mean, that gives us something that is pulling people along and giving them rewards for taking so many actions. I mean, we saw the number of advocacy actions. So those are, you know, targeted campaigns against certain companies or certain groups. I mean, that just skyrocketed once we had our app up and started to give people these points to start doing things. So, I mean, that's been a really good example for us. I think, what other things? I mean, backing up to your question about how do you deepen the piece of this is, so we have different populations that we're dealing with. So one of the big for fundraising is the boomer crowd, right? That's the people sitting with all this money that we're trying to get out of their pockets and put into the causes, right? So we developed a site called PETA Prime. So it's speaking to that audience. It's a safer way of engaging with us. It's less, you know, in-your-face activism. It's more, you know, being kind and kind choices, that type of thing. So for that, we built up all of these crossword puzzles that are animal rights crossword puzzle focused. So that was a great way for us to kind of put gaming on that level, you know, and that's been a good, that's been a successful thing for us too.
Have you seen Clicky? The clickable wheel? It's on Groupon, so go check it out and spin it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But you, the chances of winning are very slim. So we make that very clear.
we're warned.
I think.
So one of our most successful campaigns is often emergency relief, because people have this urge and want to contribute and aren't sure where. And so often they think, okay, I want to do it, but I'm not sure where. And so they go about their day. And when you go about your day, one of the things that my brother really encourages and wants and get to be known for is just that it's part of your day. You spend 5 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, he isn't looking at, I know sometimes people joke about Zynga that, you know, it's this addictive thing. He really just wants 5 minutes, 15 minutes of your day, and that's it. And so you're in the midst of your day, you know, Frank is going to work or whatever, and he takes 5 minutes and, you know, tends his crops or does something in a Zynga game. And so what happened a year ago, really, we're at the 1 year right now with the Japan earthquake, was that I woke up and I'm in Chicago and my brother's in San Francisco, and so I woke up obviously 2 hours earlier, and it was the Japan tsunami. And so immediately, you know, I thought, okay, we have to do something. And so we figured we should do it. I woke him up, we went, and within 8 hours, really, or less, we had opportunities in almost every single Zynga game to be able to contribute, so that then when Frank goes to work and he takes 5 minutes and goes and checks his game, message of the day, do you want to contribute? He's already going to spend $2 or something and, you know, I don't know, buy a crop or do something. He can do exactly that, but in a seamless way, contribute. So he's not, it's almost like, well, instead of giving it to Mark Pincus, I'm going to give it to Save the Children, and it's the same amount of money. So he can go ahead and do that. So it's just part of the day. And by doing that, we were able to raise $3.5 million within just a couple days to give to the Japan earthquake, tsunami situation. And so then I'm proud of a lot of areas, but the one thing that I do personally is then I go and follow up and do due diligence. And so, you know, one of the other criteria, and you had asked us, so it was just in my notes, that makes these elements really important when you're doing your work is to also be able to give feedback. And so a lot of online feels very faceless and you feel very far away from your contributions. So we make sure I go when we contribute, and I go to Haiti and I go to Japan. I go to all the places we contribute, and I make sure that our money went where it went, and we see the people who received it, and then we give feedback back to the players. So it's just a really important element, since online giving is so distant, mm-hmm. that we try and do that. So I think some of these elements are really translatable to much of what you all are doing, that you can do immediacy because we're online. You can make it really urgent and right. give them an opportunity to give immediately. And you can give them due diligence, and you can go and give them immediate feedback. Really
one thing,
easily.
Though,
I've got a couple examples, and I'll try to be concise. Charity Water, I think their recent campaign, where it's a sort of pay it forward model, is a really good one. It's not strictly a game, but the way they've designed it is very clever in terms of each supporter is finding the next set of supporters is finding the next set. I think that was very well designed. They're not using Help Attack, but if they're in the audience, I'd love to talk to you.
We said no pitching. We're going to kick you out.
There you go. Two campaigns we did. One was Oceana. They invented a hashtag, Ocean Giving. And they talked about ways in which people were thankful for the oceans. People could be talking about turtles or fish or whatever excited them, scuba diving, and using that hashtag. And they asked people to give when that hashtag occurred. So it was a good way to tie the messaging that was appropriate for them to some giving. Another Free Arts New York City, we're concerned pretty strongly with smaller organizations that are very strapped for time. And so when they can use resources that they have at their disposal in their online campaigns and their gaming campaigns, it's great. They had a pair of tickets from JetBlue, and they said, hey, anybody who makes a Help Attack pledge before January 30th will be entered to win these tickets. And it worked. It's something they had. Rather than giving those away at an in-person event, they decided to do it online. And their response was probably five times the usual rate that we get. So we're pretty excited.
So these kind of prizes. Okay, let's take a few questions here.
Let's move over here.
We keep looking this way. My fault. I'm like... slanted that way.
Ooh, nice.
Good.
Hello. Oh, there it goes. Sorry, I missed that. I wasn't paying attention. I'm Clavivia Gallitz. I'm from Colorado, and I'm sort of the sole tech person for the Colorado Agency for Jewish Education. We're a big organization with a small group of people running it. So my question is, one, most of our donor base is baby boomers, people who aren't necessarily checking our website and who aren't doing these kinds of things. And I'm glad that you mentioned this PETA Prime thing. I'm wondering if any of you have other examples of how you're engaging the older community to sort of get them involved in gaming so that, I don't know, maybe they tell their grandkids or their kids, there's these cool things going on. But also, how do you get that engagement with the younger generation to get them involved in the games? I mean, before you even consider building the foundation of a gaming situation, like what do you do?
For us, we've seen a big difference on which platform. So some of our campaigns run in mobile and others don't. And when it's just exclusively on the web, the donor base is much older. And so what we're starting to learn is that when it's available on mobile, the donor base is younger and more male than it traditionally is. So, I mean, that baby boomer age is online. That's the average age group that's donating to all of our campaigns.
Right, and for most nonprofits, younger and male is not your demographic for fundraising. It's older female. So a lot of what we're doing is directed on websites. So even something simple as, taking a map of the U.S. and putting, all of the actions that we're doing, and then people can click on that using the gaming, it pops up, it shows you kind of what's going on in that area, what was the protest or what was the action that we took. They can click through and watch a video on an undercover investigation or something like that. So, kind of engaging them on that level, which is more in their, and safer for them. They don't have to download anything. It's not like they're, it's not scary for them.
I think before you build anything or commit to anything, you should listen. It's not just demographics. You could have a group of 20-somethings that don't know about your organization yet and you want to educate them. You could have another group that's already volunteered and you want them to take the next step and volunteer again. So, listen to what they're saying, what drove them to you, what are they talking about, and then try to do something that's relevant to that specific set you're trying to reach.
I think that we can look at this from the perspective that Frank is about to go to in a moment, but through the perspective of failures, that you really have to remove the barriers that are keeping them from approaching these games. And so, first of all, it's access, and I think Patty talked about that a little bit. But you also have to think about, that we remove the clicks that people just, the more clicks they have to use in order to get to your game or in order to get through your game or in order to get to a contribution point, the more they're going to give up. And this is true for anyone. I mean, I would suggest that you all count your clicks, no matter what age group or what gender you're looking at. You really want to reduce those. You want to create greater access no matter what. I mean, I have a problem with this as well, but you're trying to remove characters. You're going to remove words. You're going to, you know, speak to a certain level, and so Frank keeps trying to get me to remove my words from my slides and all. But I go through and I have a limit to the number of characters I can put in the scripts, and so we have to do that. And you know, my brother is constantly trying to get everyone at Zynga to simplify. And the more simple you can make it, and I don't mean simple in a dumbed down way. I just mean less complicated. And that's really a lesson I think that we all should take, because we're really just trying to enjoy and engage and reward the experience. And I appreciate what Aaron said, but I really do think that people need a little more play and fun, and that they will come back to you if they enjoyed it.
We call it checkout velocity. That's a term that I learned when I first started at Groupon. Just like, we're not going to... Nonprofits always ask us, can you just add that checkbox, like give a dollar at the checkout? It's like, no, like that is just one more step that's going to prevent someone completing the transaction.
I love that.
And I'll just throw, I mean, we know that, you know, 90%+ of fundraising happens offline, right? So that generation is still giving most of their money offline anyways. Most people still are. It's trending online. So I think, you know, what Steve said, he created that crossword puzzle type thing, right? So a way to try to get your offline donors and your offline base, if that's where they're mostly at, somehow figure out a way to engage them with your game, whatever that might be, through your offline methods to get them online and make it something like a crossword puzzle that's interesting to them. So now maybe they're more likely to come back next time and start engaging with you online, right? I think everybody's trying to figure out that kind of offline to online thing in general. And I do think that gaming is a way, or adding these gaming elements is a way to do that, because it makes it more interesting and fun and compelling, and there's your peers. I mean, these are all good things that help people to do more online, which pull back from the offline costs and all that. So let's grab this question right here. And I know there's more, so we'll try to get to everybody. Don't get hit.
Pay attention.
Thanks for the shirt. My name's Michael, and I am from Austin, Texas. I produce concerts and festivals here in Austin.
We got a film guy in the room. Wow.
Imagine.
And one of our events is a large community event. It's free. It's sponsored by the city of Austin. It's called the Pecan Street Festival. And it's an arts and crafts-based festival, and it's run by a nonprofit. And basically, we try to beautify, help organizations, things in need here in Austin locally through the show. So do you have any examples of shows, concerts, festivals that you've been involved with that have been gamified that have been successful? Any models you could share? Because I'm trying to really...
I'll let you guys all chime in, but the first thing that comes to mind is the whole text-to-give concept. I mean, I think there's a little gaming element to that, because it's like we're trying to raise X amount of dollars in the next hour, text-to-give $5. I mean, there's a little bit of gaming there.
Yeah, our youth program is called PETA 2, and every year we're invited on the Warp Tour. So with the Warp Tour, we go around and we have a table set up, and we tried many different ways to get engagement, like, you know, at the booth, like, you know, help save, you know, the Chick Sisters, or, you know, I'm not a nugget, that kind of thing. But what really took off was texting. So we just started, we put up a banner that said text to give, and it was text PETA 2 for $5. And, you know, most of these kids are doing it, and it's charging to their parents' bill, you know? So it was kind of this interesting way of
brilliant.
Us. And it's not paying the bills, you know, but it's helping. It's one of the things that's big about that is that, you know, from my perspective, I'm trying to build that next, you know, philanthropist that's going to come down the line and understand, you know, so these kids that are getting used to, like, doing these types of things, down the line they're going to graduate and they're going to hopefully get their first job and they're hopefully going to remember the great time they had with PETA on the Warp Tour, and that, you know, and they remember giving to us. And so it's this whole thing that I'm trying to build a future audience of, you know, supporters too. So,
and for events, people are just so used to being bombarded with advertisement, so you have to do something that's really going to switch it up. And so part of our voice and our sense of humor at Groupon is just to make fun of ourselves a little bit. So We sponsored the North Coast Music Festival in Chicago and sponsored all the porta potties, like Your Impending Relief, sponsored by Groupon, and just like made fun of the grandiose nature of advertisers. So we had these huge signs on the side of the stage, like this sign sponsored by Groupon, and then the other sign, that sign sponsored by Groupon. And so people were like, this is ridiculous. And yeah, it is, but then it stood out.
Okay, let's grab this one right here.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, guy in the back, I'll get you next.
Good catch.
We're running out of t-shirts, by the way, so. And nobody stumped the panelists, so please ask some hard questions.
Hi, guys. My name is Zach. I work for a nonprofit called DonorsChoose.org. And yeah, I was just thinking, we worked with Groupon on their first philanthropic Groupon.
The most successful one ever.
And yeah, and they were awesome, and we use Blackbaud software on our finance team, and we've been the target of a PETA boycott from some of their activists.
And you want to know why we won't work with you.
We figure out a way to work with you.
They're going to make a game about you.
No, we've already said
that. Yeah, yeah.
But my question actually was just kind of going back a little bit to the prior question when you guys were addressing successful, what's been most successful. I'm just curious, Steve, because you mentioned that you mentioned a couple things that were really successful, but I wasn't sure how you guys are defining success. I was curious to hear that.
But that was one of our last, but we'll just jump into it, so it's good.
That's a great
question. We're going to get the failures too, just for the lady in the
front. I mean, I think for us, for success, it's are people engaging? And it's hard. It's one of those things. I wish I had a little formula that I could calculate out, like, this is success. But I don't. I mean, I think where it's really what Aaron said was listening. And it's this, you know, when we did that PETA points thing and it didn't turn out to be a success, it turned out to be, you know, in terms it was too successful. But, okay, we could argue how I'm using words. But, you know, one of the things was the amount of feedback we were getting from people, like, this is broken. Why don't I, you know, I want more of this, that, or, you know. So I think for us, measuring that type of, you know, engagement from our supporters, I think anytime a donor or a supporter or whatever is contacting you, that is priceless, and that they're taking their time to, like, be so, you know, so into this and your cause. So I think that, you know, instead of looking for this, you know, this magical algorithm that figures up, this is your engagement level, you know, it's like, are your phones ringing off the hook? Are your info accounts blowing up? You know, are things like that happening? And I think that's really important for us.
Can you also share, I mean, I'm sure there's some, like, real metrics you track, right? So, or I'm guessing, maybe there's not.
No, we don't track anything.
We do. Yeah.
I know you guys.
Like downloads of our app, number of actions taken on that, like I mentioned earlier, that was a huge success for us, and that's how we measured it. Was that, you know, went up three times our number of actions that we were getting people to take. So, you know, and engaging them in a longer time, so they weren't falling off as fast.
For the Donors Choose campaign that we did, so there were three different parties involved. There was Chase, and they had a objective in it as a matching partner. There was Donors Choose, and then there was Groupon. And so we each had our own metrics clearly defined. But what we were trying to get out of it, above and beyond social impact, is connecting with new customers. So 30% of the people who donated to that campaign had never purchased a Groupon before, and it was actually the same number for activation for Donors Choose. 30% of the people who donated had never donated to Donors Choose before. So that's something really simple and easy that we can measure. Some of the other things that are harder, like awareness impacts. So, but actually, I just bumped into someone at a session who's done a G-Team campaign before, and we were talking about it, and it's all about perspective, right? And so she was looking at it from the perspective of fundraising and raising a lot of money. And if you look at it from that perspective, it's probably not, you know, a successful campaign. But if you're looking at it as a way to build awareness and connecting with new supporters, then very much so, it's effective. So how you measure is really important in defining that. As in the game, it's like, all right, my goal is to beat you at the finish line, or my goal is to, you know, get this many points in the game. So really defining that before you even begin is critical.
I also think that you have to ask, when you're thinking about stakeholders, who are you asking? If you ask one of our partners, if you ask our school in Haiti, or if you ask World Food Program or water.org, they may judge it based on the amount of funding they receive. They may judge it based on the game in which they were able to be located. If they're in Farmville, it's going to be different than in Mafia Wars or different than in another game, because it's the number of exposures they have. And so even if they didn't raise $1, they've still been seen. Their name's been seen. We have click here to learn more. And so they have number of click-throughs to their websites. Virginia and I have a fabulous story that we'd love to tell about why we can't partner with very small organizations, because we crashed the World Food Program's website. This is the UN, because we have too many users that go through. And so we need a partner that has bandwidth and high-tech abilities. So, you know, we have a huge amount of users, and those players are really valuable in terms of just getting the word out. So it's how we're going to measure it by money, by eyeballs, by all of that. And then on our side, we really want to reduce the friction in connecting you with people whom you care about. Our mission is connecting the world through games. And I don't say that mildly. My other life, my full-time job, is that I'm a professor of business ethics at DePaul University. So I really care about your mission and our mission. And our mission is to connect the world and to use games to do it. And so we really, really mean it, and we want to connect you. So we measure how well we do that, and how well we reduce that friction, and how many connections you have, and how long it takes to make those connections. So we want to make these games more seamless, more accessible, and to create more social lives for each of you.
Okay, Aaron, I'm not going to let you answer, because we got to keep rolling.
The metrics question, can I give 1 minute?
Yeah.
10
so
seconds.
We study two major questions. One is, what is the total value in donations that we deliver per unique visitor? Yes, we're delighted when somebody raised $10,000, but if we can deliver 80 cents or a dollar per click, which is ultimately the audience's responsibility, that's great. We also look at how much staff time was spent per the result. And I could talk about metrics all day long.
Totally. When you boil it all down, I think those are probably two of the best ones to measure. So, gentlemen way in the back who we know has been waiting.
Virginia, throw it the whole way.
We got to move, because we only got 10 minutes.
Yeah, we have like 11 minutes, so we're going to get to
talk really quickly.
The ending.
Okay, come on.
So, the nonprofits that we represent still do, most of their money comes in via direct mail. And related to PR. So before you can even get to engagement, you have to get them online. So I think this is more directed at Frank, because Peter, your audience, I think, is a little younger and already online. But how are nonprofits getting their donor base online? And before you can even have an opportunity to start gamification.
But say that, I started to kind of get to it a little bit with her question. I mean, and you guys may have some examples of things you've seen. I mean, you know, if direct mail is still your best channel, which for most nonprofits it is, I mean, I think it's just the tried and true, you know, here's our website URL, find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter, whatever it might be, right? Trying all those methods in your direct mail pieces to get them to come online. I mean, I don't think that's changed. I haven't seen any magic bullet that all of a sudden gets, you know, some massive percentage of offline supporters to move online. And I don't know, maybe you guys have, but I haven't seen any massive,
you have to meet people where they are. So one of the problems with some of our, I guess, what you might consider competitors, which are exclusively fundraising platforms, right? Like, you're not just browsing around looking to give away your money. But Groupon, right? We meet you in your inbox every morning. We wake you up at 5:30 in the morning and say, hey.
That's a pitch.
Yeah. No, but that's what we do. So we're meeting people where they are. So we have this audience already to help people connect with new supporters. So find out where they're hanging out already and meet them there.
Does that count as stumping the panel?
Say it one more time.
Does that count as stumping the panel?
That's a good one. I will say stumped on my behalf. I mean, I don't have a great answer for you, so
I think we're drifting into just general social media stuff, but one gamified example.
And direct
example,
mail conversion. I mean, that's a tough one.
You know, when a corporation is giving $100,000, one Facebook like at a time or one hashtag at a time, they're looking to build an audience. I think if you're going to do those campaigns, make sure they're your likes. Because you want those people to be with you, not necessarily the company, or to have some engagement with both the partners. I don't know how well people stick around. I haven't seen case studies there, but that's one example.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you.
Good question, though.
We have one more T-shirt.
Okay, we've got it. Let's get some more. I like questions, so let's go with this man right here. Anybody got the mic?
Let's address the failure.
Oh, and he didn't even get a question, the guy with the
And
mic.
He didn't even get the t-shirt.
The G-team guy.
Hi. Ripped in the head by
Go
Virginia.
For it. I'm Dr. Steve Elmore. I'm vice president. I'm on the board of directors of the Central Texas SPCA. So we're trying to figure out how to scope campaigns. So if I'm going to look at doing something like this, is it appropriate for a capital campaign? Do we need to, how grandiose should your focus be on what you're trying, you know, what would your suggestion be? You know, start small, or is it okay to like go for something big if we've gotten a need like that? Or,
when you're trying something new, I think, you know, the design theory, right? Start with your minimum viable product, mm-hmm. identify what that is, and just like acknowledge that it's a game, like with your donors, with your employees, like we're going to just play here and try it out. We don't know how it's going to work or not, and really reduce your expectations, and then see how that went. And iterate off of that. So definitely. I wouldn't bank my whole capital campaign on it.
Absolutely, start small.
It has start with little things and then build up to it.
It has to be proportional to the resources you have. I mean, if you have a big media partner, if you have Ashton Kutcher who's sitting on your board, that's one thing. What we tell most nonprofits, average, you know, you're bringing 1,000 Facebook likes to the table. We tell them, you know what? Try to get 10 people recurring giving in the space of 6 months. That is your goal, and spend maybe an hour a week on it. And once you accomplish that, you got $3,000 extra a year, and you have 10 new advocates that can spread the word about that kind of campaign.
I can think of five spay-neuter games right now that you should be like kind of.
We're going to move on to the next question. Okay, gentleman right there. We'll take a couple more, and then we're going to get to some of the failures, so.
Okay, so I sit on the board of Equality Illinois, and we run a gala every year, and it's the same boring thing in the same boring hotel room, and trying to get, but it raises about $120,000-$130,000.
You need to do a game like Foursquare physically right there.
Well, this is what I want to talk about is, in my day job, I work at Starcom Media Vest Group, and we've been working with Aaron Dignan to bring gamification into the workplace, but I'm trying to figure out how to sell the board on, again, integral changes to these events to make them more fun and game-based and to therefore attract a younger audience.
Check out IGFest.
Eggfest?
IGFest.
IGFest.
I don't know if there's two G's or one. IGFest, they're out of the UK, and they have done really crazy, interesting stuff with games.
Yeah.
They have videos.
For a gala, though, right? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, for an on-site event.
So there's one that's called the Hat Game. Okay, so it's GPS-based. You wear like a, what's it, boiler hat? What's that thing called? A silly hat. You're wearing a silly hat, and then you're following people around, and then if I bump into Frank and he's wearing the hat, I say, excuse me, sir, I believe you're wearing my hat. And it's like the secret word, and then he gives me the hat. And the idea is to wear the hat for the longest amount of time. And so you can kind of turn that into a team-building thing, too. Like, I need to learn something about Frank before he can give me the hat. And
that's complicated, though, for gala, because you're talking about older people that are like going to be like,
and they're drunk.
So I think,
and we want to raise money from this.
At the events, but one thing that one group does is that they start texting, and it's this campaign to see who's going to raise money. So, you know, you're up against your friend, and like, I'm going to pledge $1,000, and he's like, well, I'm going to outdo you. I'm going to pledge $1,000,
yeah.
And it's rolling on a board, so you can see who's pledging gifts. And it's not that they're texting the gift, because you can't get past $20 on texting, but it's the pledge that I'm going to give, and that seems to work well.
And I think you could, I was going to, similar kind of answer, that you could introduce some sort of peer-to-peer fundraising model amongst people who are attending the event, pre-event maybe, right? I mean, you can try to get them doing things before the event to compete against each other to raise more money, even though they're paying to attend. I mean, you could play with that kind of peer-to-peer model, right?
You know, like you have a bachelor or bachelorette auction. Maybe you could only spend the amount that you raised from your friends before the event. So it'd be a way to spread the word.
Good ideas. Okay, so we want to get a few, we're going to get a few bad examples. So can we just real quickly, we've got like 3 minutes, any real fails? I mean, Steve, you mentioned a little bit, but any other big failures in the gaming kind of world that you can think of? Short and snappy. Come on.
Well, I mean, for us, like on the deal side, we've sort of started to outgrow our tipping point model a little bit, right? So this isn't about fundraising for causes, but, you know, we're starting to get rid of that. But we're maintaining it for the cause element, so it's not needed. So you have to know kind of when you've outplayed your audience. So they need a new challenge beyond getting the deal to tip for the regular side of things. And then also you have to use your forces for good, right? So gaming technique, it depends on what you're trying to reinforce. So I think those are some of the negatives.
I think what Laura, what you said earlier about like making it like the path of least action, and that you don't want this. I think where we failed, we had this foie gras campaign that we did in December, and it was like you needed a freaking PhD to figure out how this little game worked, and like how like to score points, and then you could do this, and then the goose did these things. It was just too complicated, and that thing it was a fail. I mean, we abandoned it after the month and said, okay, let's try something else. But we made it so complicated, and you were like looking at it going, how does this work? So I think when we're talking about start small and start simple, you know, don't, you know, it was somebody had a great idea how that would work, but it never translated.
I don't have a specific example, maybe someone in the audience does, but sometimes when you rely too much on rewards, then it's not sustainable, and then someone's only extrinsically motivated to take action. So you have to do it in a way that kind of you have to prepare to wean them off of the reward. Like, how do we keep getting you to ask questions once the t-shirts run out? Right?
Oreos.
They have questions.
One thing that did work for us, though, was that we used Well, it'll come back to me. I'm sorry.
I'm legally constrained from speaking of failures. I tried to speak earlier about how we were trying to remove barriers to failures, but I would say that we have yet to take advantage of our opportunity. We can't do everything, and we're very small. I think we waited quite a long time to bring in a director, and we missed some opportunities there, and we now have a director, but we're not yet on mobile. And mobile, I think, is the .org. I mean, Zynga's on mobile, but the .org, we really need to move forward on taking the .org to our mobile apps and take advantage of that.
We've had bad campaigns, one with Ronald McDonald House of Central Texas, awesome organization, professional staff. They've got about 3,000 or 4,000 people combined on Twitter and Facebook. We could not get people to click on a damn thing. We put like all kinds of different types of messages, different types of day, different lengths of messages. The last one we tried was like a cute picture of a baby, and that got 6 clicks. And like, we just decided, like, you know what? This Facebook audience, we cannot figure this out. We're going to have to revisit this in a year or two once it's bigger, or once we know more, or once the demographics change. So okay, you should expect failures.
Let's maybe take like 2 questions on this, and then we want to unveil our winners. So you had a question up front, so I'm going to come to you.
Any failure that engendered a crisis?
Any failure that engendered a crisis?
Quick answers on these.
No.
Embarrassment.
Oh, yeah, always. Why not?
PETA gets embarrassed all the time. He'll share
after.
Put
it out there. It's like, how else? I mean, you got to try it. Don't be so scared with stuff. You know, it's like, just go for it.
For example, of things to stay away from, what are the third rails in this area?
Working with corporations.
No, I'm kidding. Okay, let's grab another one. I saw, my man right there on the left. Yep, there you go.
And a lesson. Maybe just a comment and a lesson on the matter of failures. I think when a lot of organizations think about games, they think about the need to become digital and they worry about the expense involved in programming, and they often get very tempted by companies who come to them and say that they want to build some kind of application or they want to promote their cause on their app or their Facebook game. And often if the game that they're producing is not actually oriented towards fundraising or achieving the social mission, but rather promoting the corporation and its interests, then the NGO may not achieve its own goals.
Right.
Something to keep into account.
Yeah. Be careful who your partners are, for sure, in that sense. Is there anyone on the right? I won't miss anyone over here. Okay, last one right there. Go for it. Can you get the mic back there?
There he is.
He's running.
All right, we got a runner.
So a lot of nonprofits have to talk about things that are not fun to talk about or easy to make light of. Is there such a thing as a line of a topic or subject matter or a cause that should not be gamified?
I like the sunshine test or the newspaper test. Imagine what you're doing on the front page of your town's newspaper, and if that makes your stomach drop, then maybe not do it. I don't think there's a line. It's totally, like, every audience, every cause, every organization is very different, and you may not know what that line's going to be.
Plus, it depends what you call a game. I mean, if you're doing it and you're like, you know, pin the tail on the donkey type game or like a Zynga type game or something like that, you might decide that there's one line. On the other hand, as Patty was suggesting, when you're using gaming strategies, or I think Steve mentioned it as well, you're using the actual strategy, like rewarding people for knowledge or things like that, or leveling up, or platinum membership. Those are all gaming strategies. You just might not call it pin the tail on the donkey, but you're using the same psychological strategies.
Before,
so I think they're all valuable.
Before working at Groupon, I did suicide assessments. Yeah. Okay, you can't get any more serious than that. And so I draw, when I was preparing for this presentation, I drew a lot of parallels with gamification and what is called short-term solution-focused therapy. So you work with someone, and it's all time-sensitive. You only want to be in therapy with them for 6 weeks. You have a specific solution, a specific goal in mind. You have actions that they want to take to get to that goal. It's growth enhancing, so as they're trying to level up in their therapy. So, I mean, therapy is serious, suicide is serious, but it's still using gaming techniques to achieve the desired result.
Very good. Okay.
Thank you.
That's it. Guys, we really appreciate all your questions,
Wait,
all your
leave.
Engagement.
Don't
yeah,
leave.
We have the results. So we had probably by now close to 300 tweets. We had 280 when Chad walked up here. Thank you to Sarah from N10 for tracking those for us. We appreciate that. She had to do it manually because everything went away. So the backpacks are available. The top tweeters, I'm not exactly sure how to say all these, but I think the first one is Rebecca Weezer.
Where are you, Rebecca?
Rebecca,
she come is. Forward all right.
Rebecca
and
gets
get
a backpack.
Your backpack.
The number two, who also gets a backpack, is NEB Trees.
Neb Trees.
Neb Trees.
Oh, is that
anybody?
Who wants to own up to it?
No.
Nobody? NEBTREES.
Next one?
All right.
Maybe they're
maybe left.
Okay, number three wins, then it's
Anna Holcomb.
Anna Holcomb.
Anna Holcomb.
Anna Holcomb. Oh, there we
Yay!
Go. Okay, and then there's two others who are on this list, and I think we might need to find one more, but what's that say?
B Sashin.
Session. Oh, nice.
She's
okay,
so tweeting while 20, she's asking questions.
Well done,
there she goes.
You get the $25 gift card from her.
You need to give
her
your card.
So she's going to talk about it.
Give your card.
I need your business card.
Yes. And then the last one is Miranda Wilson. There we go, Miranda.
Miranda, come on up.
It was
your business card.
Yes.
I have free stickers for consolation.
Free stickers.
Okay. Thank you all.
All right. Thanks, everybody.